Welcome back. Hour number three. We are joined in this first segment of the 8 o'clock hour. Really excited to have Julie Lancaster. She is the founder of Lancaster Leadership. Thank you for coming in, Julie.
It is my pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
It's so fun. So I got excited when I saw what you do. So you coach leaders.
Okay? That's right. I get excited when I think about it too.
Well, and you know, your energy is, I'm sure, infectious. So talk to me a little bit about the process, okay, and I'm talking about your initial vision process. Like, this is something that where there's a need, there's a niche here,
yes,
and I can fill that need with my expertise. What took
you there? Oh my gosh, I love that. Okay, so the process usually looks like this. I'm talking to somebody kind of socially,
okay,
and they say, "What do you do?" And I tell them, and they say, "Oh my gosh, we need you." So the real deal is when somebody uses their critical thinking to think about what's going well in my organization and what's not, they're always able to think of something that's not. And that's where me and my team, that's where we come in. Our job is to peddle hope. That's what I like to think of first, right? There is opportunity. There's a way forward. You're not stuck or trapped. And then we get to assist people in having thriving teams. Our vision is empowering, thriving leadership communities. And so essentially it starts something like that where someone's wheels are turning, like, oh my gosh, we could use some help. Or we get the email or call where someone's already figured that out and they say, help us. Then the process is really needs assessment. What are your struggles? Where would you like to be? And then we have 8 different paths we can go down. And from there, we really take care to listen to our clients and our customers' needs and desires. And we start spitballing, like, we could go this direction. What's your budget? How much time do you have available? What kind of people, which people on your team do you want to be involved? And then we start to move forward.
Julie Lancaster, she is the founder of Lancaster Leadership. So let's break this down, because obviously post-COVID now, everything we read that suddenly, you know, the workers, the labor force, they have the power coming back to work. You know, and a lot of employers are having a difficult time getting people to come back. And then I'm sure you've heard the term quiet quitting, where, that's actually a thing.
That's actually a thing.
They keep coming to work, but they don't do anything, or they don't do more than what's required. As leaders in that environment, and in this delicate balance now of, you know, these new, you know, I'm going to say soft, inclusive environments that we're all coached to lead in.
Yep.
How difficult is it in this season now, where we literally have people that are part of the workforce that they have all the leverage right now?
That's right. Actually, it is extremely challenging, and it's the best challenge we could be facing, because what our workforce is asking us to do is to show up as leaders instead of just, I'm the boss, do it because I say it should be this way. Or you're lucky to have a job, so just handle it. So now we have to be employers of choice, right? That's a term that's sometimes brought into the conversation these days. And so how can we make it an environment where people want to show up, where they've got resilience, where they're mission driven, where they enjoy their colleagues, where they feel like their entire, their life is appreciated. It's not just working to live, but it's inclusive. The COVID environment really brought into the game this idea of having flexibility and understanding that your employees are, they have lives outside of work. And so how can we adapt instead of just butts in seats, right? You should be in your chair sitting there from 8 to 5. I don't care if you're productive, but it's really taking a look at how can we support that person to have a great life, really.
Has the leadership model changed considerably? You know, there used to be the 9 or 10 or 20, whatever they were, you know, characteristics of an effective leader.
Yes.
Have those characteristics changed?
That's a great question. And I guess, so what happens for me as you ask that question is I love to read the business books, whether they're called the business books or personal development books or strategy books. I think the commonality, right? Like the first that I think of is Kuzis and Posner, these two who wrote The Leadership Challenge and have been around forever.
Yeah.
They say there's 5 qualities of an exemplary leader. And I feel like the commonality of the research is saying be engaged, be engaged, be engaged. And so that means being nimble, having what we'd call leadership agility, recognizing where somebody on your team, If you want to motivate them, you're going to do it in a different way than if you motivate somebody else. How you give feedback or praise to somebody, you're going to do it in one way for somebody, a different way for another person. So it's reading the room. I feel like that's the quality that all of these researchers are saying is reading the room is a simple way to say it, but reading your people and caring. I just had the opportunity to do a keynote the other day for an organization in Flagstaff that works all over Northern Arizona. And it was about being an engaged leader and what that looks like. And one of the main things that we talked about was that you can know all the strategies, right? The 5, 20, 200.
Yeah, whatever they are. Yeah.
Whatever they are. But if you don't show up as authentically caring, all of those are going to fall flat because we as people, we're really great at sniffing out inauthenticity. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, nope, they're working me. They're trying to manage me. And nobody likes that.
And eventually you will sniff out a fraud. That's for sure.
That's right.
So is there I think there's a balance, you know, between, you know, the caring, empathetic, compassionate leader that is really involved. But then there's that line where, you know, too much involvement leads to, you know, a decrease in productivity, a decrease in trust, actually. Mm-hmm. And many leaders will tell you that it's the people that they went the furthest for that end up, I don't want to use a word as harsh as betrayal, but certainly letting them down and disappointing them in terms of their work performance.
Yes.
And those are the ones they end up letting go, but they've invested the most in them. How do we address that?
I love this topic because this is such a common question. So you're like, you got your finger on the pulse.
Okay.
So people will ask, how do I show up as empathetic and also hold people accountable? Right? Mm-hmm. Holding people accountable is towing the line, having high expectations, having wanting a strong work product. Empathy is not the opposite of that. So that's the beautiful thing that's often this aha moment for folks like, oh, it doesn't mean I have to be a doormat to have empathy. One of the most empathetic things we can do, you and I know this, Brené Brown, one of the people in the leadership space, she talks about clear is kind and unclear is unkind, that if we give people honest and direct feedback about their performance, let's say if they're underperforming or they're having struggles, but we do it because we care, that's one of the kindest things we can do. You and I know we've had mentors in our lives or people who've believed in us, right?
Yeah.
And they aren't the people who are just soft on us, who are easy on us. They tell us, they sometimes believe in us more than we believe in ourselves. They push us, they challenge us, they help us see our blind spots when sometimes we don't see them ourselves. But the underlying theme is we know that they care about us and want us to succeed. And so I think for anyone who's feeling like, do I have to just be really soft and give in and not hold people accountable? The answer is absolutely not. You just have to know how to do it right.
And the most effective of those leaders never compromise the pursuit of excellence.
Yes. Or
they don't, you know, they often will tell you, and I remember some of the strongest mentors for me, like, you know, we're the standard is the standard.
Yeah.
And as much as I sympathize, empathize, as much as I want to understand what you're going through, we're not going to lower the standard. You're still going to have to come up to that. I think that's become difficult, though, in the workplace as we balance, you know, the human emotion and the human needs. And, you know, what I think is, I don't know, maybe I always want to say this, but, you know, I'm an older guy. So, you know, I just want to say that people just aren't as tough as they used to be. But that's probably not a good thing to say.
I hear you.
In this. But you know what I'm saying? And, you know, maintaining and enforcing that accountability to the standard.
Yeah.
Okay. And a refusal to compromise that standard is something that most strong leaders, they find a way to balance that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the misstep. So here's the thing about toughness, right? I think people are still as tough as they used to be, but it looks different. Now it's actually okay to show emotions at work. Whereas everybody has always had them.
Is it really? No, I'm just joking.
That's great. When we say getting emotional, sometimes we mean screaming or crying. Mm-hmm. And that's not what we're talking about. Emotional intelligence is there by design, and it helps us to figure out how to make decisions. So the thing is that if we are going to help people to succeed in the workplace, that we need to be proactive instead of reactive as much as possible. Meaning, if you and I work together and you're my supervisor, can you set the standard from the get-go? these are the expectations around here. So that then if I have to, in him doing air quotes, right, have to hold you accountable, meaning saying you're not measuring up in certain ways, we've already had the conversation. It's not catching you off guard. You know what our standard is around here, and it shows that I'm paying attention. We're going to go back to the mission and focus on what we're here to do, because those proactive things I've already thought about because I'm a strong strategic leader, or you're a strong strategic leader, right? They all tie together. And if we can be having those conversations ahead of time, making the time, even though we're so busy, to have those conversations, it can really benefit in the long run.
Yeah, critical conversations are essential to workforce development. Julie Lancaster, she is the founder of Lancaster Leadership. How large is your staff?
We have about 5 facilitators and 1 incredible assistant who does all things behind the scenes.
Okay. And I'm sure you work them pretty hard. So how do we get a hold of you? If anyone is interested in the service that you offer, how do they get a hold of you?
Fantastic. Just yell from the mountaintops and we'll hear you.
You will hear.
And the best way to do that is go to our website, lancasterleadership.com. There's no D in there. And you'll find how to contact us, or just email Courtney. Email Courtney, the master of all things, right? She's office@lancasterleadership.com, and we'll start a conversation. And what I love too is that if people reach out to say, how could you help us? We're happy to talk with you about if we can or if we can't. But having the conversation just started, I think, is a great place to start.
Well, and that's really where you started here too. Needs assessment is really, that's the first bullet point of the conversation.
Right.
Like, what is it that you need, and how can we help you?
Yeah. You know, excellent.
Isn't that the question that we should ask, you know, whether that's in the workforce or everywhere else? Like, how can I help?
See, servant leadership, you embody it.
There you go. Julie, thank you so much.
Such a pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
Great energy. We're going to step aside for a break.